Welcome to Modcast, a Civilization podcast focused on game modding. Rob, R8XFT.
Steve Angolan.
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Hey there guys, my name is Jess, also known as T-Pangolin, and welcome to Modcast. Joining us is...
Jan Boruta.
Alpha Shard.
Rob, R8XFT.
Now we have to ask ourselves, now what? What do we do from here? This is basically, this is kind of the modder's dilemma, is when you want to create a mod, and yeah, that's what we do. What exactly do we want to do, and what do we want to set out to create? We're about to release the, probably my favorite mod that I've ever done in the history of all mods. It's so bad, it's so stupid. We've created a Lion King Civ.
Oh.
The unique unit is the ghost of Mufasa. And he just reads out really bad film quotes like, they're eating her, and then they're going to eat me. Oh my god. Tides go in, tides go out, Simba. You can't explain that. But yeah, we just got like the ghost of Mufasa, the unique unit, and like the leader is Simba, and the peace theme is... The war theme is Be Prepared, and the whole thing is like you get like great musician points from animal tiles, and it's just so stupid. We have a Dawn of Man recording, and you can hear the voice actor that we got. He's trying not to crack up.
May the light of those who have gone before shine forever upon your lands, great Simba, Lord of all lions. You came to unite all the animals of your lands under one banner. And in turn, they helped you bring to life what was once desert. Your father, cruelly ripped from this world by your murderous uncle, would be proud of the kingdom you have built around Pride Rock, a land of greatness and plenty, forever watched over by the wisdom of countless kings. By your will has the desert blossomed into a land of life, and every animal from the lowliest mouse to the most high-born of lions can share in its peace and prosperity. O great King Simba, today is the day when all that light touches is yours, when you are the main event, when your people need a leader who rules while feeling the love tonight. Can you be like no king was before? Can you command an empire to move to the circle of life? Can you build a civilization that will stand the test of time?
The possibilities are endless. That's for sure.
It's the circle of life. Last modcast, we had a little discussion afterwards, and we wanted to talk about if there were going to be another expansion pack, which we pretty much know at this point that there's not going to be another expansion pack for Civilization V, what we would like to include, and what the ideal sort of mod components that we would like to throw together to make the ideal expansion of Firaxis level quality. I think we all have some pretty neat ideas, and if we could reach a consensus, that would be a pretty good starting point if we wanted to collaborate on some massive overarching project.
Like a fantasy setting one, maybe, where you have dragons and elves and dwarves and, yeah, ancient fantasy civs. You'd have to make a lot of civs for that, though, I know, but, yeah.
Are you saying this is more of like a standalone sort of expansion like the steampunk scenario was? Or do you mean like a fully fleshed out America versus dwarves?
More fleshed out, like America versus dwarves, but maybe elves versus orcs or something like that. You'll have like a whole array of unique units and techs, and maybe that's a little too much, I don't know.
It would utilize the same sort of tech tree, but just add new buildings, because I would like to see, you know, futuristic dwarves and minotaurs in space.
That would be awesome.
That's actually something that I've always wanted to see in like science fiction, is that when you're watching Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, they always said, oh, our generations have stood around for 1,000 years, but you'd think that they would get better technology on those thousands of years that they've been alive, so that'd be pretty interesting. See,
that is a problem with a lot of fantasy literature, is that the science and technology doesn't seem to move forward when they sit there, oh yeah, thousands of years, and technology just doesn't seem to move forward at all. They never really explain it. It's just weird.
In those worlds, there's magic is this huge part to play as well.
Yeah.
That could be either restricting progress or...
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. That's a really interesting concept. That was actually a lot more far-fetched than what I was thinking. That you kind of wrinkled my mind brain right there.
Yeah. That actually reminded me of how big mods were incorporated in Civ 4 expansions. There was Rise and Fall Civilization, Fall from Heaven, all these smaller and bigger fantasy and historical mods, bigger than scenarios in Civ 5, like the steampunk scenario, which is just a rehash of the old mechanics, just with cooler units. Pretty big thing, like not a game inside an official pack.
Maybe that's a destination or a goal that we should set ourselves for, get a mod included in the Civ 5 Complete Edition. If it's good enough.
I nearly had one included in the Civ 3 edition, but Firaxis wanted me to sign a copyright waiver.
Oh.
And I didn't want to do it because I didn't know where some of the art had come from. I think it was based on other games, so I got cold feet.
It's okay.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, better safe than sorry.
I mean, like, Civ 2 had dinosaurs in one of their expansions, so it's not totally unfeasible to do something.
Yeah, and the amount of times dinosaurs have come up in science fiction is insane.
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
But, like, I don't know, I was watching Doctor Who the other day, and suddenly there's dinosaurs on a spaceship, and that's not fun. That's just ridiculous. I didn't really see this going in this direction.
Neither did I.
Does anybody have any other ideas for, say, fleshed-out expansion ideas?
I've had some ideas for more fleshed-out expansion, which didn't involve dinosaurs or trolls.
Obviously, it's going to be terrible then.
Yeah, well, indeed. Why am I even saying it? I don't know. I've thought of my 9 civs that would go in, and the reasons why. I wanted to include the Philistines, because I really like Luge's Philistines, thought I was a brilliant civ. I think they might actually also fit into an improved ancient conquest of the ancient world scenario.
Oh, definitely.
A deluxe version of that. Along with that, I want to, for access to include a mechanic, which I think would really help some of us modders, where the mechanic would be able to detect which DLCs you had, what you got, Brave New World or whatever. And then from that, give you the best possible gameplay experience. So, for example, with the improved ancient scenario, if you've got Babylon Civ DLC, then that would be in that scenario. If you haven't, you could still play it, but without Babylon being involved.
Yeah, that's not really what they did with Scramble for Africa scenario, which they said, all right, Ethiopia has to be in Scramble for Africa, so let's just give Ethiopia to everyone for free, included in Brave New World.
Well,
so, if you didn't have Golden Kings, you essentially got 10 civs.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't really speaking about that. This would be something that's useful for the mods such as Anno Domini. Half the people are complaining, I don't have this DLC, so I can't play it, or that DLC. It's
a case
of the individual PC being able to say, right, well, I've got these DLC, I've got Brave New World, so these are the civs and the mechanics that I can play with if I want to play Anno Domini. So it doesn't prevent people that don't have every DLC from playing it, but those that do can have more civs. I think, you know how sometimes Firaxis use some of these scenarios to teach us how to mod? Well, they could have the improved ancient scenario where if you have the Babylon DLC, then Babylon are in the game. If you don't, you can still play it, but Babylon don't take part. And then modders, I think more of these mods where it is total conversion would actually flourish because they could use the resources available, as many as they wanted, and not have the complaints from half the community that they don't have this DLC or that DLC. That was the idea behind that. I'd like to have the Sioux and maybe the Tupi in do some sort of scenario based on Native America, very similar to what Plotinus did back in Civ 3 with Rudin the Dragon. So basically, it would be half of the scenario would be spent building up your Native American Civ with the knowledge that the European powers were about to hit, but you couldn't play European power. It's purely based on building up the Native American power. I don't know how that sounds.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, that kind of ground was covered in Conquest in the New World. But no, I would really like to see that happen.
It kind of was.
Sort of true start location map.
I mean, I don't know if you guys were around for Civ 3 and Rudin the Dragon, but in that one it was actually British civs waiting for the impending invasion of the Vikings. But part of the first half of the game was building up your individual civ in preparation for attacks from abroad. And it'd be a very similar sort of idea, I think, for the Native Americans. I'd also like to see a scenario based on Rome's enemies, stroke Rise of Rome, a really good one, which would include a couple of my other civs, Illyria and the Goths. And then I filled out the other civilizations with some that I really liked from what was currently available, like Australia, the Khmer, Belgium, and also I'd be quite interested in the Ashanti making appearance at last. I think that there would need to be a mechanic for unused faith.
faith is something that builds up and builds up in the game, and then somewhere in the game you don't really need it anymore and it's still sort of being created, so it'd be nice to have something for that. And also a mechanic where you can have mutually exclusive civs. So like GFD has brought out so many different versions of Russia, for example, and Carthage and Poland now, where you can set it up if you wish, so that if one Poland was chosen, then Poland wouldn't appear with a second version in the game. So there you go, that's me.
Sweet.
There's a mod called Really Advanced Setup and a mod for it that allows to create groups of civs that, for example, only one civ from every set group will be chosen on the map. So yeah, it's a bit tedious, at least for me. So a kind of official mechanic for it would be really appropriate, I think.
Yeah, definitely. What about the faith idea? I don't know if anybody else plays the same as me, probably, or much, much better than I am. But I find that try and play for faith and getting a religion going. But once I've got the religion going and I've bought all the buildings that I can, then I've still got this faith that I'm accumulating that I can only use for great people, which at least I can use it for something.
There just need to be more purchasable faith options.
Yeah.
Because currently, once you hit the industrial era, all you can do is use faith to buy particular great people based on what policy trees you've filled out. So if I finish all of tradition, I can get my great engineer using faith.
Mm.
But is that something that you really just want to be doing and falling into the pattern of doing, or do you want to create new options for people to go down so it's not just so standard?
It could be that you create a building whereby the faith that's created in that particular city is changed to science or gold or something else, culture.
Yeah, that would be excellent.
It's just a thought.
Right now, what can you buy with faith is limited to the religious beliefs you take, and they are usually not the best choice available for your religion. So you're pretty much locked out, for example, from buying universities with faith when you don't go piety and take the Reformation finisher.
Yeah.
Or when you don't choose Holy Warriors or something like that because you just had to pick tithe or mosques or any better belief.
I go down the route generally of getting the mosques or the cathedrals or whatever and then getting sacred sites with my Reformation belief. So I go on the...
That's basically plus two tourism per building path. Then you just spam cities everywhere and
So every time you get one of these buildings, it creates even more faith. So, you know, you're getting so much faith, and then, like you were saying, Jack, you know, spend it on great people in the end. And I guess it's good that you spend it on something, but it'd be nice to... It seems a little bit unfinished that you can't spend it on something else.
Yep, totally agree.
I thought about the theme of the expansion. What could it be? For example, with Gods and Kings, we had the religious theme, and with Brave New World, we had the tourism and trade routes theme. What is lacking in Civ 5 at the moment for me is better control over your internal politics, like setting up your desired government type other than the vaguely named policies and the choices there. I would like for it to be more active. Like when you choose monarchy, you have various array of decisions that you can make as a monarch. Or when you choose republic, which has other benefits, you have to deal with the Senate or something like that. I recall that there was something like the Senate in Civilization 2. For example, in a democracy, you couldn't declare war if the Senate didn't allow it. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, JFD is going to implement something like that in his piety and prestige. For example, there's only piety being done, like a fleshed-out religion system with state religions, although there's no other methods of spending faith yet. But the prestige system might be covering the government.
I've never actually thought of that. That's a really cool sort of theme, and internal policies and stuff like that, and governmental types. That's something I didn't even think of. That's a really nice one, because it would really flesh out the game so much more. So you can literally become the embodiment of an autocratic Sweden or the kingdom of the USA. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, because right now with policies, you just accumulate benefits that could be named in any way possible. It can be renamed at a whim. For example, when you would adopt a certain type of government, you would have benefits, you would have flaws of this government, and most importantly, you could switch between them. Like in Civ 4, you could switch between civics to tailor your empire to the need of the era, for example. Because right now in Civ 5, when you're locked to tradition, you can't really change it. You then go liberty or freedom, so you're a democratic monarchy.
I used to love that feature that was in Civ 5 that they removed because of complaints. But I quite liked it. It was when you switch from piety to
rationalize.
Yeah, when you switch, your empire goes into anarchy for 2 turns, and I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, and you have the whole other 3 cancelled out.
Yeah.
Like there was an opportunity cost.
Hmm.
It's something like that. Something like that it's missing for me.
Right now, the only thing I can do is fill the void with that particular thing is by Civ names like policies, and that kind of fleshes your Civ out a bit more in terms of flavor and what type of leader you are based on the choices that you choose.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tiny bit of flavor, for example. It's purely cosmetic, but it's really nice.
Yeah.
That's the theme, the internal, the government types that are like the theme of my ideal expansion. And the Civs, I didn't really think about them, a total 9 of them, but I think I would like to see some Civs that were already made official in scenarios, like the Hittites or the Sumerians, made official in the new scenario. And from currently modded ones or lacking or not present, I would really like to see, for example, the Apache or the Navajo.
Yep.
Definitely the Nazca from Europe, Hungary. It's a glaring hole in Central Europe for me, at least. And only Congo and Mali, for example, for Africa. Those would be at least the most interesting for me and would fill in the gaps pretty nicely.
Definitely. So, my idea. Surprise, surprise. I'm heavily biased, but the overarching theme for my sort of expansion idea would definitely be sort of colonialism. What I really like about civilization is the fact that you can choose where you settle and you can flesh out your empire, but once you settle those initial sort of 4 cities, you can really sit on your empire for a while and you don't really do much. There's not really much incentive to settle overseas because of that increased policy cost, or becomes more difficult to manage your empire with all the micromanagement that you have to deal with when you settle on new continents. So I always wanted to have sort of a colonial themed expansion. I would like to see, in terms of colonialism, like more fleshed out barbarian system, because you can see the way that the barbarian system works in Beyond Earth. The aliens, they're so much more flavorful and they're much more fleshed out in Beyond Earth.
Yeah.
If you look in the XML, the files, you can see that if the barbarians were to settle cities, they already have a full city list. I know some people might get offended that their particular tribe or whatever nation is included in that barbarian list because, you know, you're likening him to a barbarian. So perhaps there could be something that can flesh out barbarians, because if you're going to wipe out barbarians with the plague, it's a bit iffy, but if you kind of treat the barbarians as not barbarians but call them, you know, something else, it might be a better way to go.
Or a way to assimilate barbarians, like in Roman Empire. So possibilities are there.
There's a really cool anthem, totally under the radar, hardly anybody saw it, but in Last Sword, a thing that's been requested so much, and nobody ever really saw it. If a barbarian camp is left alone for long enough, it will develop into a city. And he's created this mod, and I played with it, and it's so fun, because you have to go out of your way to defeat these barbarian camps, otherwise they will turn into cities, and it's great, it's fantastic.
Either that, or if they took over one of your cities, then that city could become a city-state of some kind.
Mm. So, yeah, more fleshed-out barbarians. That's something I'd like to see.
Yeah.
There should be an incentive to colonize unclaimed land beyond the medieval era or the Renaissance era, because right now you don't get anything else than luxury resources in your new place, and it does feel like another city that you have to build all the monuments and all the libraries to build the national wonders.
You know how there could be more resources included, but there would be a certain type of colonial resource, for example, things like flax, opium, rubber, and tea. They could be revealed by certain texts that you unlock, but they wouldn't just be base resources that would give you +1 production and +1 food. They could give you certain empire-wide benefits. For example, opium could give you +5 happiness empire-wide, or flax could give you a bonus for producing naval units because of flax's ability to be used for rope. And perhaps the way that outposts are done in Beyond Earth, settles the one tile and then slowly grows and grows and grows and grows around.
Yeah, like something for colonial cities, like a completely new mechanic that will somehow incentivize colonizing. For example, like colonies in Europa Universalis IV work, that when you colonize 5 provinces, it turns into a colonial nation that is your puppet or a vassal. You can't control it directly, but you can annex it later on. And you let it just conquer and colonize on its own, and you don't divert too much of your cash for that, but you get all the resources in return.
Mm-hmm.
Later incorporate the colony into your empire, and maybe even with a unique set of buildings that it builds.
That'd be interesting, so they can settle like cooperative cities.
Yeah, like a governor's mansion, like plantations.
I'd like to see that. In terms of cities that I'd really like to see, definitely be Australia, that would be one of them. There's no bias in that decision whatsoever.
Yeah, they were considering Australia for a BMW SIF.
There's a really cool video panel done at Fraxicon, and it was recorded. It's all up on YouTube now. And it's like a 32-minute video, and they go into the design choices behind a particular SIF that they included in Brave New World.
Yes.
And they included civilizations like Australia, Canada, and Brazil in that particular process. And using a lot of those civilizations that they listed up, what they did was they grouped them into categories and picked the best of those categories. That doesn't really diminish the second best choices in all those categories. So yeah. I kind of designed these sort of 9 civs that I would like to see based around what they just didn't include. So post-colonial civilizations like Australia and Canada and perhaps Mexico, because even though they're all sort of colonial civilizations, they're all vastly different circumstances and culture and flavor involved in that. I'd also like to see some pre-colonial civilizations, including perhaps the Sioux. That's a really good civilization that I'd like to see. And the Inuit. African civilizations, perhaps Congo and Mali, that's a really good one. And as Rob mentioned before, the Ashanti could be a fun addition. But I find Congo and Mali, they definitely have a lot going for them in terms of flavor. And they're so different to the civs that are currently in game. And yeah, like you said, there's like a glaring hole in the African side of things because it feels vastly, vastly underrepresented that side of the world. Hungary would definitely be a good addition to that. But also to suit that colonial theme, I'd like to see Phoenicia.
Oh.
Because those were the original colonialists. Those yeah. were the original guys that went out and colonized absolutely everything. One of the things I would really, really like to see would be a new era, the Enlightenment era, because you go from Renaissance to industrial, but historically that doesn't really make sense. It feels like there's a large gap. There should be sort of something to fill in that gap. You know, Enlightenment era, that could add in new units and fully flesh out transition from Renaissance to industrial, so you don't go from building early frigates to factories right away. But then, you know, with each civilization pack, you also have the new wonders. So did you guys have any sort of good suggestions for perhaps wonders that could be included?
Yes, I did. Treaty of Kadesh.
Oh, yes.
I thought possibly the effect would be longer peace periods, maybe, when you declare peace, to sort of elongate that, maybe. But it was the first treaty ever between the Hittites and the Egyptians. But on it, both sides, of course, claimed victory. But there was a lot of different reasons for why they shouldn't break the treaty. So it's quite historically quite interesting. Another effect it could have, there's a couple of civs that can overtake the city-states. It'd be nice to have a wonder that you could build and you get maybe one diplomat that could take one city-state over.
Mm.
It wouldn't be the case that all of a sudden a civ could build one wonder and then take over all the city-states, but they could take over one city-state and involve it into their empire if they wished.
So like one free Merchant of Venice for
yeah, something along those lines. Yeah, although you wouldn't be able to make it a Merchant of Venice because then if you'd have to be very careful how it was done because those wonders and whatever mechanics that offer you a free great person might give you one of those by accident. So either you could get that pesky city-state that's the only other city on your continent, or alternatively take over a really strategic trading post the other side of the world somewhere.
We like the idea of that Treaty of Kadesh, though, how it's not an actual physical wonder. A really good wonder would be like an encyclopedia.
There is a physical treaty that's been found.
Yeah.
There is the physical Treaty of Kadesh still exists to this day.
Would you rather have that available in the early game? Because you can get the Rosetta Stone and stuff like that in archaeology at the moment.
Yeah.
I'd like that. You know what? That is missing. You know, more flavorful artifacts like that. You know, find the Rosetta Stone or the Treaty of Kadesh or the Dead Sea Scrolls or just something really ancient and that would feel more flavoring of history.
Versailles, missing for me from C4. Such a big thing that it should be somehow represented.
I came up with this before. The ability that I came up with for Versailles, I think it contained 2 slots of 4 great works of art, but it also gave you the ability to ignore World Congress resolutions that banned certain luxury resources, so it wouldn't affect you. That'd be a really cool effect.
Yeah, I also had the whole luxury resource theme for that, because it just feels so appropriate.
Great minds, man, great minds.
Yeah, and the second wonder I was thinking was the Crystal Palace from London.
Yeah.
From the Great Exhibition and kind of cultural industrial complex that could be done for that. For example, great works providing production or vice versa. The rate you gain great works that's related to production in a certain city or something like that.
Mm.
One of the mechanics that, incidentally, that we haven't mentioned that I think would be good in the expansion is the old plague mechanic.
Yeah.
So you can have a city that actually just dies through the plague, and another Sith can come along and plonk a settler there if they wish.
Yeah, we previously talked about this mod, the Health and Plague.
The good thing is the groundwork's already there, because the way that religion spreads could be the way those plagues spreads. I didn't mean like that.
New sort of city graphics. We haven't got any African cities at the moment, or any colonial cities. The actual graphics for all the cities.
They've been trying to do that for ages, because city styles have existed for such a long time. There's some really good resources for Civ 4 city styles, and also, you know, borrowing from other city styles, like games like Empire Earth 2, you know, Europe Universe styles. They have lots of cool little city styles that you can make little, you know, African city styles. But I think we would have been doing this ages ago if it weren't for one particular restriction. I think there's like a hard-coded DLL thing that you have to get past that needs to be made universal before anybody can really continue with it.
Well, Luigi tried to work around any limitations, but there was always a problem with walls being tied to the initial four city styles or something like that.
Well, is there a possibility then that an existing city style could be changed?
Yeah, that was the point of the workaround, that you take, for example, the European city style, recolor it or add elements from other city styles and kind of mix and match them all together. But there happened other mods, and I don't know if Luigi was distracted by them or just put it off indefinitely. I don't know.
Somebody created a mod out there that depending on what continent that you settle on, that's what the city style would be. So if you settle on an African style continent in game, you will receive that particular city style. So that was an interesting edition.
Yeah, that's really cool. Any third-party mods that you would like to include in your ideal expansion pack?
So I would definitely want to include events and decisions.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say.
Events and decisions is non-negotiable. If you're going to make your own expansion pack or curate something that looks like your own expansion pack, because that's essentially what you're doing when you install mods. You're creating your own sort of tailored expansion pack, and events and decisions just fleshes out the game in a way that we didn't really know we needed until it came, and it came with a bang, and it's still only just getting started, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for that mod. Another thing that I'd really like to see, JFD's cultural diversity, which our last modcast, that basically formed the revival of that mod. So that's something that we've done, right? Modcast. Yay, we've achieved something. Cultural diversity is back.
Cheers.
And it's awesome. thanks, JFD.
A really easy mod I'd like to see just included in the expansion pack is the Tomatek's religions.
Yeah.
Simply because it means that all the Sivs will choose more or less the religion that was tied to them because there's so many, rather than just having like the Celts choosing Buddhism, and because they've already had Catholicism chosen, and then have to choose something else, etc.
To keep the flavor, I also would want to include some kind of ethnic unit models mod to complement cultural diversity, just for the little edge.
Yep.
And a little more polish. For example, in Civ 4, in the last expansion pack, I think, Beyond the Sword, there were added some very basic cultural diversity and diverse unit models. It's just eye candy, but it's so nice.
Another piece of eye candy that is fantastic, and I've started to slowly include compatibility in my mods, which is the unique cultural influence mod. People like me and don't really like the whole fact that when you become culturally dominant over another Civ, out says that our people are now listening to your pop music and blue jeans. It's now changed, so if you're the Mayans, our people have now adopted your calendar and predict catastrophes for the near future. I predict the rest of your world will also succumb to the influence of your culture. And this guy's done it for every single civilization. So if you're Japan, our people are now buying your kimono and watching your anime. Such a small thing that fleshes out the game, and you don't know why it was kind of ignored.
It'd be good if there was ever another expansion pack brought out, which I guess there wouldn't be, for them to go back and look at some of the vanilla civs and make them up to the same standard as the Brave New World ones and Gods and Kings.
Oh, yeah. If I was probably going to go on a colonial sort of theme, you would want to update those civilizations with colonial sort of mechanics. For example, Portugal would need to update it, so would England, Indonesia, Venice,
really?
Spain, Netherlands, Denmark, India, you know, America. A lot of these places, they probably need to have some updates to deal with a lot of the new mechanics to include it. Like, I'm only saying America and India and Denmark because they're so hilariously boring in the base game that they need to be updated in some sort of new way anyway.
Rome as well.
Rome is so boring.
Very well organized, didn't they? So maybe that could be built into the mechanics, who knows.
So there's plenty of material for an expansion pack, really.
Yes, there's absolutely plenty. So we've reached a point where we think that, what else can we do now? But then we've also reached that point as well. We can do so much now. That's the correct answer to that question.
Yeah.
You may think that it may look like everything's been done, but we're only really just getting started.
We haven't done enough.
Recorded for episode 48 with Gilded Duke, Handbill, Framed Architect, and Thalassicus.
Trade routes are something that people often overlook in wartime. One big reason why the Romans were so successful that doesn't really get talked about much is they had complete and total naval dominance over the Mediterranean. A lot of people focus on their land-based legions and armies, but the Roman navy is what allowed a nation that was basically on a rather small peninsula to dominate a huge region of the world by sea, largely. Some of their conquests were by land, but trade and controlling the oceans and so on was very important for the Roman Empire.
It was also their incentive for conquering in the first place, was that they could conquer all of the areas around the Mediterranean, then they could trade with those places a lot easier. They could,
the Mongols,
they could,
too.
Oh, you know, yeah, exactly.
A lot of people think of the Mongols as just raising and pillaging and burning, but actually the Mongols set up a trade empire that allowed merchants like Marco Polo to travel from Europe to East Asia and back in relative safety. It used to be controlled by hundreds of little tiny nations and city-states, and the Mongols unified it and allowed trade to occur over vast distances.
I think that's actually one of my disappointments with the trade route system. You can't really do money-making internal trades from what I can see. It'd be nice if you could, say, just pop into the city, you could still trade with it for the gold. Or even, you know, the admiral that opened up Japan, doing things like that, using military to open up trade routes.
You can sort of do that because you can use them to hurry production.
Yeah, you can do that, but you can't get gold internally, which is,
well,
the problem seen.
Getting gold internally, if you think about it, gold allows you to produce something in one city and use that to construct something in another city. So, like, City A earns gold, City B spends it. Well, if you have a trade route that earns gold, it's basically doing the same thing. Or if you have a trade route that does production, for example, you're sending production from one city to another city, so it's already similar to gold in that respect.
Yeah, the internal caravan routes are quite useful in the early game. I used them a lot in the games that I played.
Especially since you can't reach other nations yet, oftentimes.
Right, yeah. I love the radius distance limiting on the trade routes. I think that really was well thought out and helps the game to expand in scope as you explore more.
I agree.
Everything about the trade routes was brilliantly executed.
Well, as usual, I want a better interface to remove some of the micromanagement from it.
Well, one thing I'd really like to see, if it was all possible, if there's a way to do a plane trade route as opposed to, you know, sea or land, because what immediately comes to mind, you know, like the first time I heard about trade routes and the whole, like, shipping food in between your cities, is that somebody really needs to do a Berlin scenario and just have the whole airlift thing going.
Yeah.
Which I think could be possible if you get aerial trade routes.
You could do that in Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, I mean,
you had supply crawlers that basically functioned similar, and you could airlift those from one part of the planet to the other, but I don't think that'd be possible with air trade routes.
Well, there are airports, you know, so it's a matter of how close the functionality is.
What you might be able to do is have something where basically make a trade route that only tackled by airplanes or something. Maybe that would work.
Modify the paratrooper unit to actually be like aid worker. When they land, instead of staying, they disappear and they give some bonus.
That could also work, but I like the whole automated thing.
Yeah, it's really convenient, and I think they did pretty well on the whole trade route interface because you just sort the list by what gold delta or whatever you want, pick a spot, and then it just automatically goes back and forth.
I remember Pazarek said he wanted to look at maybe a way that you can make those terrain shifts happen in-game, but I haven't seen anything more about that. As of right now, terrains are only regen on reloading a save game, which is unfortunate.
Now, wasn't there something where you could change features but not terrain? Like, basically change, like, you know, Gora Forest or something?
Oh, yeah, features are definitely updated, as we all know from chopping forests and stuff
hills,
like that.
Right. Stuff like that is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, removing marshes, all that updates
right.
in real time.
But potential mod thing, couldn't you basically make a feature that looks like a hill and then go from there and you'd have a bunch of fake hills that are really just features?
You probably could.
And then just, you know, either add or remove them, you know,
but
with
then,
or whatever else.
But if you try to mine it, then the mine is a feature. You can't have two features on the same.
I think it would work because you could have, you know, like a sawmill on a forest, and that's no problem.
Yeah, that's true.
I can just imagine this being like in my Faerun mod and some wizard casts a spell that makes everything look like hills.
Yeah.
One of the funniest mods I think ever written was, and a very simple mod, was something W. Howard did, which was he changed it so that when you launch a nuke, when it lands, instead of fallout, you get a forest. So
yeah.
Basically, it just it's like a boom, you can plant forests all around somebody's city.
It's a forest bomb.
It'd be awesome if it actually emitted, like, barbarian units or something.
Because he discovered that forest and fallout was a feature, and you could change it to any feature.
Nice. Yep.
Finally, after 13 years in development, the Polynesia mod, thanks to about 27 different people, has now been released, and it's fantastic. It received a lot of attention on Reddit and on the forums and Facebook and pretty much everywhere you go, and it's nearly universally well-received.
We're just speaking that some vanilla civs are so plainly boring. Polynesia wasn't necessarily boring in the first place when it was released, and it was a surprise that it was released. I remember I was very surprised when it was a DLC. But it encompassed way too many small ethnic groups of Polynesians into one, like, conglomerate civ. So what more civs has done is splitting up the Polynesia pack, like the India pack, into four separate civilizations that are much more localized and much more focused than the previous Polynesia. We have Hawaii under King Kamehameha, an old fella, but he changes his attitude quite drastically. We've got the Maori under Chief Te Rau Poraha. We've got the Rapa Nui of the Easter Island and the Tonga Empire. Each of these civs has a very different focus and a plethora of new unique units and buildings. The Hawaii focused on specialists and specialist yields. For example, they receive great people points from combat and utilize the koa, the long swordsman replacement that doesn't need iron to build, the unique building, unique temple that gives a random specialist slot when built. Not anymore Kamehameha is the colonizing madman of Civ, but he's rather going tall. The Maori are all militaristic. They gain production towards a certain unit when they kill said unit. So, for example, they kill a warrior, they will get 25% production in their capital towards a warrior. So it's like self-fueling war machine.
Fantastic. It also should be noted that since you do that get that 20%, you kill a whole bunch of Polish winged hussars, or winged hussar will appear near your capital.
Yeah. That's excellent. This is probably my favorite civ from the Polynesians.
Definitely.
Then there's Tonga, who take the mantle of the seafarers and colonizers. They gain more influence for completing city-state quests, and when they meet a civilization or a city-state for the first time, they get a random yield, a bonus for faith, cultural gold, or even science. They have a trireme replacement that can enter ocean tiles and gives this ability to any embarked unit that ends its turn on the same tile as this unique replacement. So not anymore the Polynesians have the ability to embark immediately. Instead, they will have to wait a while to get the unique unit. They also have a unique granary that they get the more food, the more sea tiles are surrounding the city with. You want to settle those one-tile islands pretty much with the Tonga.
I played as the Tonga very briefly. It's all really good, but the only thing that I noticed was, and it's not the version from Steam, it was just downloaded from Cifanatics when it first came out, but it didn't seem to indicate which bonus I'd got when I met another civ or a city-state. So there was no like message to say you've got X amount of science or faith or whatever, so I wasn't quite sure what I was getting.
Maybe it was due to it being an old version.
Maybe so. I loathe the Steam version.
And the last civ from this group, I think the most under the radar really, are the Rapa Nui and the Hotu Matua. Their unique ability is that every time a citizen is born, they receive faith, and every 10 faith output of a city, which is quite a lot but not unobtainable, generates one cultural great person point, including faith from new citizens. So, like the Maori are the self-propelling military machine, the Rapa Nui are self-propelling faith machine, intended to go tall and also settle a bit larger landmasses because they keep the Moai unique improvement, which pretty much stays the same, except for the synergy with the unique unit, which is the Matatoa. It replaces composite bowmen. It has plus one sight and plus one range, which is lost on upgrades, so it's really big. But it has a special ability that can be performed on a hill tile adjacent to a coast, and it has to be unimproved. And this unit can collect a Manutara egg on the coastal hill tile. There's a chance that it will happen or not happen, and if it happens, it generates 40 great person points for cultural great people, and starts a minor Wheel of the King Day in the city that is the closest. And then the whole unit upgrades into a better unit called Tangata Manu that is even stronger. And this is related to the traditional festival on Easter Island where adolescent boys, to prove worthiness and maturity, swim to a neighboring island, collect the Manutara eggs, and then go back and climb up the cliffs of Rapa Nui. So it's kind of simulating that small thing.
It's a really, really powerful unit. But you feel so accomplished when you do go onto a coastal hill tile and recreate that little festival. One thing I wanted to add, though, is that that 40 great person points and the 5-turn Wheel of King Day, is that a new thing? Because I thought originally what it did was make that particular tile that it was on provide plus one fate.
It's related to the Moai. Plus one additional fate when Moai is built on a Manutara egg site. So only...
Right, okay.
Only when you construct the unique improvement.
I think the unit is probably strong enough about the whole 40 cultural points and the 5-turn Wheel of the King Day thing. It's a really cool addition, but maybe it should be nerfed because I found that when I was playing Rapa Nui, you were getting so many great people. It was just a insane amount of just great people. I was just getting less faith and a ton of pretty much just great person points. It was insane.
I played the Maori and the Tonga mostly right now, so I only had the Rapa Nui as my opponents and they were always annoying me with profit.
Really?
So many profits.
Wow. I think there was also the one bug, I'm not sure if they fixed it, but it was with the Maui unique improvement, it could also be built on pretty much any tile. You could be built on top of any resource whatsoever, and it didn't have to be built within your territory as well, so I found myself building it pretty much absolutely everywhere to get the adjacent culture bonus.
The unique unit is Taiaha Warrior. It replaces Pikeman and upgrades to Musketman, so... It mimics history, where the Maori used the gunpowder weaponry brought by the British. And it does a pretty regular thing. Nearby units have plus 5% combat strength, which comes in synergy with the unique ability that melee units lower the combat strength of adjacent enemy units, so all these hacker wardens. And the unique improvement of the Maori is the Pa. Hill village, a hill fort of sorts, requires engineering, can be built on hills and provides food, and can be built next to another Pa. Boosts military production by 5% when worked. Different kind of a clan castle of the Scots, whereas the Scots provided plus 5 experience points to the newly produced units, this one speeds even more the production of units, so really plays into the whole military machine, self-propelling machine that the Maori are. And the improvement model made by Luigi is just plain gorgeous, at least for me.
No, I really enjoyed that one as well.
The vanilla unique ability of Polynesia, so immediate ocean embarkation, is disabled for all the new sieves in normal games, normal like custom games on Continents, Terra, or Pangaea maps. But on true start locations, because the maps often have only one tile island surrounded by coast, and in case of Rapa Nui by ocean, all those sieves are being given the immediate embarkation back, so they can colonize and spread out just as every other sieve on the map. So it's been taken into consideration, at least.
Yes.
Because on custom maps, it isn't a problem, because there's a lot of landmass to expand to. But on true-style locations, when you have all the Pacific and the islands are all spread really wide, you really need to get off those islands before astronomy.
Especially because Tonga and Rapa Nui, they're only on one tile islands in the middle of the Pacific. Maori don't get ocean embarkation, but they do get coastal embarkation. But I think that also should be applied to other nations. Like, the Maori are going to get coastal embarkation. Shouldn't, say, Japan get coastal embarkation as well? I'm not sure if the Maori should even get coastal embarkation.
Indonesia should get. I tried playing Indonesia on true start locations and it was a pain.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think Indonesia, probably Japan and the Philippines, they'll also need to get that and maybe utilize that same code. So that's, if anything, that's a really good idea to include compatibility for that.
So to sum up Polynesia, I think it weighs almost 50 megabytes because of all the music and all the assets.
Four civilizations, two unique improvements, all these unique buildings, all these unique units. And I mean, we like to make fun of how long it took to create, but then if you look at the amount of stuff that included in its creation, you see the sheer amount of effort that went into that particular modification. It's just pretty awe-inspiring, and it makes you want to do better as a modder.
Calling today in North America, the number is 301-637-7659. That's 301-637-POLY. In Europe, 44121-288-7659. That's 44121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
You can Skype us at the Polycast or email us at thepolycast@gmail.com. For more information on Modcast, our sibling shows Podcast, Revcast, Tiffcast and Turncast, or about Polycast in general, log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
I myself haven't acquired Beyond Earth.
My thoughts on it was I was wondering whether or not, I know it's set in space and everything, the mechanics could be used for maybe an ancient mod, you know?
An ancient mod?
Yeah, have it not just peel everything away and actually use the affinities and use the way the tech web goes, etc., and do something that isn't spacey with it. Have a complete change.
It's blowing my mind, Brian.
It'll happen.
It will happen.
One thing that we were talking about on the Civ 3 podcast a few months ago was somebody had an idea back in the times when Civ 3 was popular of having like a, not so much an ancient mod, maybe sort of medieval mod, but having the world based on how they believed it to be. So there would be real civilizations, but there'd also be dragons, flat earth, etc. And maybe some of the elements of Beyond Earth could do that.
Yes, maybe. What's sort of the first mod that you would like, kind of like to see come out? Not the immediate future, but sort of the near future. Because if you look at Civ 5 at the moment, we're in our modding renaissance. And yeah, we're just pumping out mods like there's no tomorrow, and it's, yeah, it's a really good time to be a Civ 5 modder. But do you reckon it'll take the same amount of time for that to happen in Beyond Earth? Will everybody just start moving up Beyond Earth, and it'll happen a lot sooner?
I do think there'll be quite a rapid rise, because part of the problem with Civ 5 was everybody was learning the mechanics. Everyone's learning how to mod it. And Beyond Earth is very similar. So I think people have caught on how to mod Beyond Earth very, very quickly. Yeah. And additionally, I think that people already have some ideas for Beyond Earth, where maybe they would just wait and see how it would work with Civ 5. And also, of course, it's a standalone game, whereas I think some people are waiting for Civ 5 to evolve amongst the expansions before it actually had that modern renaissance.
Yeah, I agree. What we really should be aiming for probably is, when you're playing Beyond Earth, what exactly do you find is missing? And it's the kind of the modder's dilemma on how to fix that and how to add things that are missing. So
what's interesting there is that you're considering your modding as replacing things that aren't in the game yet. I think a lot of modders do, whereas my idea of modding is to have a concept of what I want to create and create it, as in the Anno Domini.
That's my whole mantra. The reason that I really like to go after civs like Canada and Vietnam is because they weren't included in the base game, so I'm kind of, and it's what should have been.
I think what is missing anyway from Survive modding at the minute, and possibly will come in, and also with Beyond Earth, is the sort of total conversion mods such as Anno Domini. I think there are loads and loads and loads of those in Civ 3 and Civ 4, but at the moment with Civ 5, it is the sort of let's find the gaps and, you know, complete them at the moment, which is working really well.
Yeah, there is one conversion project called Ea or something like that, that is a fantasy mod for Civ 5, but I haven't checked on this in a while. I can't really tell.
It's progressing quite slowly, but it's really cool. The concept is essentially, you start off as a singular civ, like either a village of man or a village of elves or whatever, and based on the decisions what you do, you change into a certain civ, based on like the resources around you and how you use them, and like that civ names by policies, except it changes your whole civ, and it gives you like a unique set of abilities based on your environment and how you use it. So it's really like a really ambitious.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That is very ambitious.
Yeah, and the model already looks very complex, so there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and I don't know if really that many people follow it, because most are accustomed to going on the Civ Steam Workshop and checking out all the historical Civs or something like that.
I'd be interested to see how many people actually listen to this podcast or what the audience is.
I have no idea, because we don't get that many responses in threads.
I wonder if that's the vocal minority or the vocal majority.
Yeah. Do Fire Axis listen to the modcasts?
Oh, do they?
I wonder. That's what I'm asking.
I've received a couple of PMs on Reddit from people, because I know they definitely read Reddit. I've had a couple of things that I've done that was I post on Reddit, and then I was contacted by people from Firaxis to say whether or not they can use it on Facebook and Twitter.
Ah.
So, for example, like I did like a True Detective opening sequence, but featuring Civ 5 leaders and a bunch of other stuff, and they said, oh, yeah, we really like that. Can we share that on Facebook and Twitter? You know, they definitely read Reddit, so it'll be interesting to see if they listen to the modcast, because they feature themselves on Polycast.
Yes.
Bye. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah. Bye. See you guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. You're recording, by the way, Scott.
Yes, I've been recording the entire time.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I mean, I have been, but you know how reliable my system is.
Yeah, I'm recording as well, and it seems that it's recording properly. So yeah, we're good to go.
Okay. So how should we do this? Let me think of like a. Actually, can I get some? I'll just be right back. I need to get some water.
We're never gonna start it.
God, that was an effort, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So much better.
Finally.
Oh, yes. So can we hear the,
Yeah.
Is there any feedback? I mean, can you, like, hear any echoes or whatever? Because,
Yeah, it was going to give me a headache if we were going to have to listen to your voice like that. I mean, it's perfect now.
It could be the Beyond the Robot kind of thing.
Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Oh.
Domo arigato, Mr. Hutama.
Yeah, Hutama is a prick.
Hutama's a prick? I haven't seen him in game, mainly because I don't have the game.
I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I'm really tired. Does anyone want to introduce this first topic? And welcome to episode number... Insert number here, because I cannot remember what episode of Modcast this is.
Beyond Earth and where you see modding going. Like, some of the topics we can talk about is, you know, I really want to see, like, an Earth map. Those factions as they are right now, but on Earth. you make, like, a map, like, in the World Builder on Earth and have, like, the Pan-Asian Cooperative and Poly-Australia, but using the geopolitical boundaries of, like, what they control on Earth. That'd be pretty interesting.
That would be very crazy. You go all these hundreds of light years and you find a place that looks exactly like Earth. What the hell?
Record date
October 26th, 2014.
Civilization 4 and 5 sound clips. Copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.